All right, welcome to another edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Let's watch Kentucky Derby 150. This is Travis Stone's call, I think. I'm not getting any audio, but that's all right, you know. Here they are, you know, running around the track.
What a day.
This is how hard it is for Travis Stone. All right, we're going to talk while
what a bum that Travis Stone is. What a bum. We're moving on straight on to Dave Rodman. You understand me? A real race caller, not this Travis Stone guy. What is he? What? On McAfee? How about that? Nothing. Nobody.
All right, let's talk right now, Lou. Derby 150 is in the book.
Yeah, just leave this in the background. This is perfect,
it was
actually
epic. Let's start with how all of us were wrong. Because said that if Fierceness gets his clean trip, he's unbeatable. Good Fierceness start. Got his clean trip. And he was very
rough.
There we go.
In now the Kentucky Derby. Fierceness had an okay start. He gave away in the middle of the pack. Strong Phantom will go to the early lead, and now John Velasquez gets Fierceness into the mix. Stronghold is there. Epic Ride goes up on the far outside. Just Steel is close up too as they race past the first time. And then comes Mystic Dan down on the inside of West Saratoga. Resilience is next. Then comes Society Man on the outside of Just a Touch, Catalytic along the rail. Nordic is next, saving all the ground into that turn. Then comes Catching Freedom, Domestic Product, Granville the first. Then Japan's Forever Young down on the inside. Sierra Leone has three horses beaten. They are T.O. Password, Honor Marie, and Endlessly. So this important half mile coming up here. They run that first half in 46.6 seconds.
46.63.
Even enough, not flying. Track Phantom the leader. Just Steel perched up on the outside second. Fierceness is third just outside of them. And Stronghold Mystic Dan to the inside. Epic Ride three wide. West Saratoga in behind that group. Then Stronghold, he's got 7 lengths to make up. Look back to Sierra Leone, he's still about 14 lengths behind. As Track Phantom passes the half mile pole with the lead. And Fierceness is moving now. And going right with him is Just Steel. The three of them across the track. Then Longshot Epic Ride. Mystic Dan toward the inside. Stronghold is next. Then Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young still with work to do. Forever Young is starting to pick it up as they come toward the top of the stretch. It is Fierceness who's moving up on the outside of Track Phantom. And there on the far outside, here comes a run from Stronghold and Resilience. And Resilience has now moved up to take the lead as Fierceness is given way, coming by the 16th pole. And Mystic Dan has now come through on the inside. It is Mystic Dan down toward the inside with the lead in the final 16th. Forever Young, Sierra Leone is coming. These three coming down to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's a photo of the Derby. Oh, it's a photo. Was it
just an amazing Dan finish in the 150th Kentucky Derby the way that it should be? An epic race. We get an 18-1 shot. Mystic Dan, Kenny McPeak gets the double. Kenny McPeak and Brian Hernandez winning the Oaks and the Derby both for the first time in the same weekend. And it was unbelievable just to see something that hadn't been done since 1952. And I mean, incredible. And especially when you consider that the Connections had the mare. It wasn't like some famous mare. They bred the mare to Golden Sense. Louis, Golden Sense coming into this.
Sorry.
How many grade one wins did Golden Sense have? A Golden Sense have coming into this,
but he got zero.
One.
Oh, one. Okay.
Yeah. And it was not by my standards.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know,
oh, good point. Yeah. Okay.
It was not Mr. Money.
Yeah.
Mr. Money and by my standards, by the way, the only other two Golden Sense horses to earn over $1 million. This was such a cool story when you hear the couple from Arkansas who bred to their mare and basically they struck gold, man. I mean, and we're going to be able, because of that,
way to put it. That's right.
We're going to be able to, like, I guess the best case example of a horse like this that won the Derby that raced for a while was California Chrome, because California Chrome.
That sounds right. Actually.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
boy, it's a good comparison. Good job.
No, it's really more good. California Chrome than Rich Strike. Let's just put it that way.
No doubt. I think everybody's rooting for that.
And
these are easy guys to root for too. And McPeak and Brian Hernandez, easy. Right? I mean, it's just easy to root for. Sure.
Yeah. Walking over from the backside with the horses, we walked over between Sierra Leone, EJ and I walked up between Sierra Leone and Kenny McPeak with Mystic Dan. And EJ and Kenny McPeak are pretty good friends, and they had a really cool moment in the back. And then of course we didn't know that he was going to go out and win the damn thing. So, I mean, it was pretty freaking amazing. But
a lot to talk about here, a lot to unpack.
There's a ton to
unpack. A $10,000 stud fee for this horse, right? I mean, it's awesome. He wins with Torpedo Ann on Friday, a $5,000 stud fee.
Right.
Right, this kind of stuff. And we talked about it a little bit before the show, and actually Issel brought it up on Saturday, and it's something that we should have considered going into this, which is McPeak runs his horses into shape rather than training to run, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of be ready for his percentage of 14% to really be more like 24 in the big spots and trust that he's got his horses ready for those big spots.
And that's actually why I'm a little surprised that I was almost prepared for him to skip the Preakness because it seemed like when he was talking about this horse run on short rest in the fall, it didn't work very well. It took a couple races to kind of rebound from it.
By the way, the way they've approached this and talked about, hey, we're doing this. Here's our process. We're going to have these conversations. I actually appreciate it. I feel like we're actually getting to go through the process with them where a lot of times it's just like, we don't know what we're doing and we're not going to talk to you about
it. No, he's talking about how
Bobby Alvarado is going to be in Maryland and these kinds of things ready to, you know, do workouts or at least the breezes, what have you. And so I know it's been a hard, I would, by the way, Mike, if I'm guessing today, Mystic Dan's in the Preakness next week.
I think you're right. I thought it was probably a little less than 50-50. And now I think it's probably more 60-40 that he is.
Okay. I'm at like 75-80.
And 75-80?
Yes.
Okay. That's 105.
Isaac, I want to say that the biggest win of the weekend was not Mystic Dan. Okay. It was the Gold Book. Because Louis,
we're going to get there.
Louis killed there, Zach. Get off screen. Go away.
We got
talking about the Derby.
We got to get where, you know, we did not have Missy Dan in our sequence.
Right. We had the other two horses.
We did have the other two horses. And at the end of the day, like, you know, Fierceness, we're going to go back there. No excuse, man. And you got to wonder when you have a trainer like Todd Pletcher. And you can't, and he can't figure out. This is not a knock on Pletcher.
Chad Brown.
No, Fierceness is Pletcher.
Oh, Fierceness. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to be steerly on that.
Fierceness is Pletcher.
Yes.
You had me second guess myself for a second. But when you have a trainer like Todd Pletcher who cannot figure out how to get that horse ready to make sure he's going to fire, because the every other happened, right? He looked great for the first.
Are you going to leave him out of the Belmont? I'm not.
Probably you can't. Right. I mean, because if he does fire, he's there. But, like, you know, how frustrating it's got to be for Pletcher to not be able to know how exactly to set this horse up, because you would have thought he did have him set up just the way he needed to be set up.
I mean, and just that trip, we watched the trip. He's only clean. Three wide. He's clean. No one's in front of him. He's sitting right off the pace.
Exactly what we said.
Sure. But guess what? In the Florida Derby, he ran a sub 48 half. It's not like, you know, sub 47 and a half half. Frankly, so no, I'm with you, brother. That's got to be frustrating. But man, Brian Hernandez Jr., I appreciated. Was it Craig Milkowski? I think on Twitter put out the GPS for that race.
Yep.
And how many feet covered? And we're talking about the nose hair of the horse, 30 less feet than the next competitor.
Because he stayed on that rail.
Correct.
He
Brian Hernandez. I thought, and it was something we talked about Saturday morning before the Derby. Sometimes that ride, like the Oaks ride, gets overlooked because it's just gate to wire, and people act like that's easy. Right. Oh, he just got up front. Stayed up front. No. They went fast up front. And then he slowed down in that third furlong, right? Down to like 25, 25 and a half. And to me, that's the kind of stuff with Brian Hernandez that when you can do that Friday in the slot, come back in good conditions on Saturday and run a very different race with Mystic Dan. But
very different.
Talking about, you know, studying Calvin Burrell and getting up the rail and being ready for that Derby, that wide swing, those 3-year-olds being a little tired, going the furthest distance they've ever gone. It's really something else to watch it happen.
And then when we look at those other finishers, man, Japan showed up.
They did.
Right?
No question.
Two horses in the top five. We got the controversy with Tyler holding on to, you know, did it matter? I don't know. Like,
I think
that stuff happen all the time? You think it does matter?
I think it matters, but I think it also happens all the time. I think race riding like that happens a lot. And actually, if you see the picture of him with his left hand extended,
right,
you can see he's not able to go to the left-hand whip to try to get back into the other lane, right? And if you watch some of the other angles, you can see Forever Young not drifting to the right, but not certainly staying in one.
They were bumping the whole way down.
Correct.
The
stretch. I think sometimes horses just want to do that, right?
Yeah, maybe.
They see the ones next to him and they're like, no, I'm not doing this. And so I think, by the way, the reason you didn't get an official live objection is because Mystic Dam was not one of those two horses.
Okay.
And I think the stewards simply don't want to be involved in another one of these.
I think it's because those two jockeys were equally as guilty.
Okay. Do you think they are going to call in Sakai on this, or are they just going to call in Tyler? What would you do? You would call in both, apparently.
I would probably call them both, okay. But, you know, Sakai's going to have very selective English. So that's how it's going to roll.
Do you think that played a part at all on him not objecting? If you're right, there's nothing to object because he was also race riding.
Yeah, I think he knows what he was doing. Okay. And I think it was, you know, that's why, I mean, because he probably had the bigger, we already got Fisk going down in the Rangers Hurricanes game.
A fight in the NHL. Yeah. How about that? Well, postseason.
I just don't think that they could have flip flopped him, right?
Okay.
If there was a steward's call, but I don't think there was enough to do it. And I think you would have seen that both of them were kind of guilty. So
the TO password was the other one, and that was as right as you were about anything last week.
So and horse racing in general, period. So
we're all better for that, though, right?
Yeah,
we're better for the Japanese baseball,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, it looked like TO password might stick around and continue, you know, maybe racing the Belmont. So. We'll have to kind of see what happens with that story.
By the way, if people haven't heard that segment that you and I did with Kate Hunter on the show, go back in the archive of this one. Go grab that episode. It's about 25 minutes long. It's really interesting stuff.
But I mean, just tons of things to take away. But I think I said this on your show the other day on ESPN Radio. The one thing that I'm so excited about is I think we're going to see a lot of these horses racing to being 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's going
to, we got a fun crop.
It is a fun crop.
Like we're looking at the Peter Pan this weekend. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Like that's a fun 3-year-old race.
I think that frankly, Peter Pan's actually kind of what we thought the Pat Day Mile could be.
A weird thing. Sometimes sports heal themselves and they go back to what they're good at. Like the optional claimer on Saturday at Churchill Downs is Hit Show, Warrior Johnny, Haze Strike, Gasoline, Confidence Game, and Classic Catch. Like those are all 4-year-olds and up running these two turn dirt races. And we've been begging for those for years. Maybe we're actually getting back to getting more of those horses.
And then, you know, maybe the top 3 we saw the whole day might have been Mind Frame.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. I cannot wait to see what happens.
Seize the Gray was pretty awesome in the Pat Day Mile.
Seize the Gray was pretty awesome. Yeah. And Mind Frame was awesome. And we're shaping up where we could have some really interesting.
Is 50 years from now, is the story of this Derby 150 swept by the same trainer jockey combination?
So hard to do. It's only like 52 is the last time. I mean, I think especially when it's Kenny McPeak, which you know people around here just love. So
I think both those guys cemented Hall of Fame bids with that weekend. Oh,
100%.
I think that's it. Yeah. There you go.
And I think does the Mind Frame run remind you of when we saw Nashville run in the undercut for the Breeders' Cup?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
I hope it's not the same result. I hope we get better.
I hear you.
All right, let's get our guests in. They've been in the green room. All right, are we going to announce everybody here? There's Scott Wyckoff. There's David Rodman.
Oh, and
we
Dave
got
Rodman,
Callie Francois. We didn't go ladies first. We went ladies last say, because we saved the best for last.
That's right.
That's right.
All this. Look at all the Baltimore on this show. Look at all of these folks.
I don't see any.
It smells like crab cakes now. It smells like old belly. There's a domino sugar thing happening here. It's a whole thing. Callie, how are you?
Tired and
previous
week has not even started yet.
Oh man, back to Hi-Ho Pimlico today. Dave Rodman with us, man. Still, I'm a geek for race calls. You know this.
I do know this. Yeah.
Top 3 race call of my life is the 2020 Preakness with Swiss Skydiver. Dave Rodman on the call for that one. If you have not gone back and listened to that one, you can just listen to it on a loop. At a battle in Baltimore, the Philly shows the way. All of those sorts of things. Dave, not that I've memorized that call. How are you? Second time on the show. How about that?
Yeah. That's, I'm glad you mentioned that call because that was the COVID year, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was your October Preakness. How about that? Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. There you go. Oh, man. No, but one of my favorite calls, Authentic, obviously goes on the next month to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. Right. Just a fantastic race. And then, I mean, do we need to have Scott Wyckoff on the show? I don't know what we're doing anymore. I mean, this guy's around all the time. He's the voice of Baltimore, but I guess we'll invite him back in. Scott, how are you, buddy?
Oh, great. Great opening day at Pimlico. Great seeing all of Callie's winning picks and also
fantastic. Was she on fire today?
Seeing Dave Rodman do his thing.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, let's face it. He never sleeps, Scotty Wyckoff.
Oh, never. No.
I think he just went to bed, actually. He's got to go to a donut shop opening in the morning or something. So
now, I mean, I get up in the morning, I look on Twitter X or whatever, and he's already been up for 3 hours covering some story.
Yeah, that's right.
Then I'll see him at, we go to the same gym, and I'll see him there running 5 miles, getting trained by Horacio Karamanos. And then I try to get him to play pickleball.
I love it.
He won't play pickleball. But then he'll go and then he'll have lunch and then he'll go to Pimlico He never sleeps.
That's right. No, Dave Rodman.
What time, what time do you go to bed, Scott?
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now, right.
Yeah. We got to wrap this up quick.
I go to bed at 8 o'clock and I get up at 1:30 and I get my coffee at 2. I'm at the station at 2:30 and ready to go. But I mean, what a great day. Callie's pick.
Yeah, I'm just like freaking out. She's like, no way.
Balls. I mean, a quarter to go at Pimlico. Nothing like it here in Dave Rodman with that call.
There you go.
I love it. I love it. Love too, it, man. Yeah. We're really excited about being out there.
Yep.
Next week, we're going to be there at the races on Friday. We got a little event happening, Jimmy Seafood Friday night, and then we'll be there for the big show on Saturday. It's going to be epic. It's going to be fantastic. So.
I wanted to get people's reactions. I intentionally grabbed three people that we don't normally have on for the Maryland shows. Obviously, Cali has become part of our Road to the Preakness series. Edelman's
probably too big for us now, right?
I agree that the old Hilltop winner doesn't want to talk to us anymore. Yeah, I'm with you. It's Howard Cosell and Dan Edelman. We get it. We get it. You have a crown and a nice big chair at Pimlico. We get it. But Cali, I mean, this is nice. You know, we've been following the Road to the Preakness. Obviously, Copper Tax picks off the Tessio. Joke on this show, of course, is the Tessio, a great predictor of who won't win the Preakness. But I think, frankly, a pretty good three-year-old crop in Maryland this year and been a fun Road to the Preakness so far.
It is. As far as news and updates of what I have, I know that who's coming in first. Of course, Baffert's not shipping in until Tuesday, I believe.
Right. Yep,
that's pretty much, what was it? Lucas will be coming in Sunday, Monday.
Lucy's Gray, yep.
There is a very probable chance of our Kentucky Derby winner coming over to the Preakness.
I have received the same information, Kelly. Yeah, so yes, okay, I'm at like 80% at this point, maybe 85.
Yes.
And then obviously Tuscan Gold, the other one, scratching out of the Peter Pan on Saturday at Aqueduct, will run the Preakness as well. We always watch that Chad Brown New York, don't we, Kelly?
Yes, and this is something that has worked for Chad before in the past. So I was happy about it.
Yes.
But now, further thinking about it, I wasn't totally surprised about that move.
Is it a Seth Klarman owned horse?
Tuscan Gold.
Tuscan Gold's owned by Will Lawrence and Womack Farm.
Okay, yep. Interesting.
It's owned three folks. Yeah, right. Yep.
But I mean, it's interesting how the Preakness is kind of up against the Peter Pan. I mean, when those decisions have to be made, that's an interesting race that goes just the week before the Preakness, where some that sit out the Derby decide, well, you know what, we'll do it there and then maybe see what happens down the road at the Belmont and bypass the Preakness.
Yeah, we the people won the Peter Pan recently, went to the Belmont out of that one turn race at the Belmont. Obviously, the move to Aqueduct, we were just talking about this, is now a two-turn race over the mile and an eighth. The Belmont's only a mile and a quarter. Yeah. That's right. So really a big change in that, you know, if we were doing the New York shows, we'd be doing the Road to the Belmont. We'd be talking about the Peter Pan a lot more, but a big change moving from Belmont to Aqueduct for that surface as well. Mm-hmm. Dave, you called all these races, man. You know, the Tessio and everything else, you know, did anyone stand out? It doesn't necessarily just have to be in the Tessio. It could be on the Black Eyed Susan side as well. You know, maybe the best that you saw at Laurel this winter.
Well, I mean, of the three-year-olds, obviously Copper Tax, and I was kind of the mindset early on in his career that he was a better sprinter, really, because he was amazing at Laurel. When he won a race, he got all kinds of trouble, dirt kicked in his face, overcame it all. But obviously in winning the Tessio from the far, far outside post at Laurel, which is tough to do to begin with at a mile and an eighth, he just settled. He relaxed. He's got a nice late kick. And I think he's probably got the best chance of any Maryland-based kind of horse that we've seen probably since Magic Wisner, huh? And you remember the big run from Magic Wisner?
Yeah.
Copper Tax was in that Remsen.
It was in that Remsen, of course. Three Derby prep winners out of that Remsen. And, Door Knocks, Dear Leone, and, of course, Domestic Product. Yeah, the win in the Tampa Bay Derby. So, yeah, he was in that Remsen. How about that?
Yeah, it's kind of –
coming out of Aqueduct, let's go. Man, yeah. I would love it, by the way. I need a Tessio winner to win so that I just have to shut up forever. That would be great. I mean, it'd be ideal. That's really what we need in this place.
All right, so when we come back to this Preakness field, are we expecting both Baffert's, both Muth and Imagination? Yes?
Yes.
Booth, yeah. Imagination, Dwayne Lucas will have two. Seize the Grid.
Just Steel, yep.
Just Steel will be ridden by Joel Rosario. So two Hall of Famers and a team up. And I believe they're coming in Sunday, Callie, right? Is that what I hear?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So D-Wayne will be first on the scene.
As he normally is, kind of.
I was going to say, that
first man in the barns on the backside as well.
You know where he'll be. He'll be sitting in the chair at the corner.
Yes, he will.
All the press will be around him.
I will be amongst them.
And you'll be there, right?
Well, yeah. It's going to be an interesting dynamic because, you know, if Kenny comes, you said future Hall of Famer, you know, he's won each of the Triple Crown races now. But between Bob Baffert and D-Wayne Lucas, we're talking double-digit wins in the Preakness. So you would imagine they're going to kind of be the celebrities in the show, but Kenny's going to be there with the horse got the chance to
make the show happen.
And make the most benefit. I mean, his horse has the most to benefit from running well and winning a Preakness than those other horses that he comes with.
I love that Dave went immediately to Lucas's horses because what we're seeing, you know, in the modern thoroughbred game, especially these two-turn races where people are taking 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks off between races, we're watching these old school guys in McPeak and in Lucas, you know, oh, just still ran the Derby. He's ready to go, right? Yeah. You know, Seize the Gray, he ran in the Pat Day Mile. Actually, I love that they're running Seize the Gray. Frankly, I'd rather have him than about 17 of the Derby starters back after 2 weeks because he comes out of that one-turn mile. I think the shorter distance of Pimlico will really suit him. Does anybody – who else are you looking at, Dave? I love that you're already scouting who's coming in.
What the next
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of the attention is going to go to Muth and his tactical style. And looking at the field, you know, who really has his kind of speed – So I would think that, you know, obviously he's going to be favored, but, I bet two horses in the Derby. I bet the winner and then I bet Just Steel. I thought they were really good prices. And I was really kind of surprised that Just Steel was near the pace. He got bounced around to the start. He was on that sharp pace and then he backed out. I thought he'd come from off the pace in the Derby. That was one of the reasons I liked him a little bit in a spot at a price. So with Rosario on him, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Just Steel run a big, big, big race in the Preakness.
I'm interested then, Dave, because you just mentioned the second and third place finishers in that Arkansas Derby. Does that make you put Muth on top at this point?
Being that they have a little tactical speed.
Just that they ran behind him in the Arkansas Derby. And so if Muth is going to show up, obviously you think he's got a pretty serious shot. Yeah.
Muth is rested and the other two aren't.
Yeah, Just Steel's behind him in that Arkansas Derby.
I wouldn't say, but that would make him favored for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you look at the wins, and I know, Louis, you studied this. If you look at the wins of Mystic Dan, it's all about the trip. And the trip in the Southwest and the trip in the Derby were masterful. The trip in the Arkansas Derby was less than that. And then you look at the success that horse has had with those trips. You've got to believe that on a track like at Pimlico, that there's a great opportunity with a smaller field to be able to find the spots to find that trip that horse needs to beat a Booth.
Yeah. He could definitely get the same trip again. He could definitely get the same trip again. Yeah, but what about the tight turn, Scotty? No, I'm just kidding.
7:44. If you had that drink, there you go.
Callie, I mean, the track was pretty fair today, right? I mean, I think
it was. I'm gonna be completely honest. I actually only hopped on for the afternoon, race 6 and onward, and then I had to do a dinner immediately afterwards, so I didn't check the charts for the first couple of races. But in those later races, yes, pretty fair thus far. But and what's great about this track is it can hold water very, very well, and it can bounce back very, very well. So any kind of weather that we're going to be getting in these next couple of days, possible week, it doesn't concern me too much. There is supposed to be a little bit of rain on the day, but again, this is a very 40%, 45%.
9 days out. Yeah.
We're 50% chance of rain today, and we just got a few sprinkles.
Exactly. So it's, and even, but for people, for anybody out there who's concerned about any type of weather that we're getting, I really, I do have a lot of faith in this track as a racing surface, as well as a training surface. So I really am not concerned about anything that's coming forward. Yeah, I think it's been pretty fair, Dave, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and Dave, you're back to calling up at Old Hilltop. You called it three very different places on your circuit, between Laurel there in Baltimore, Pimlico, and of course up at Timodium. Yeah, you've described this before on the pod, but I don't think we've had you on since 2021. And so, is there a favorite spot for you, and how are they kind of different?
Well, each track is different. Timonium's a bull ring. You can almost call without binoculars there. Laurel is a larger track in circumference, a mile and an eighth of the dirt track versus the mile at Pimlico. And Laurel has so many finish lines, you know, you really have to be tied on. You have two on the dirt and two on the turf. The mile on the dirt is the second wire. 5.5 on the turf is the second wire as well. Pimlico, just one wire, and I like it because it's kind of right below you and looking down. I mean, today was a great example, Cal. I mean, and Scott, where a few horses swooped and looped on the outside, and they were kind of so easy to see at the quarter pole as we're making that move on the outside, because Pimlico's a lot higher than Laurel is as far as the sight lines go. It's almost like, I don't want to say a drone shot, but you're pretty high up and you can see everything on the track, except for Black Eyed Susan and Preakness Days when they go behind the big stage back there. Yeah. We have to go to the TV monitor, but that's
shake your fist at Jack Harlow. There you go.
Yeah. Right. Go all the way to America with Jack Harlow. I saw Jack Harlow walking his dog the other day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dave, I got to ask, I mean, you know, they're talking renovations at Pimlico. I assume they go to you first to make sure the announcer's booth is where you want it.
That's how that works. Not.
They ask him last. There you go. Oh man.
No, I mean, I've been under one situation where at a new track at Colonial, and the place was barely finished like 3 days before, the first day of the meet. And, I don't know. Ask Jason Beam about the view from Colonial.
Yeah. So there you go.
You look out and you see the canopy of the television set over the cameras. They're at the top of the stretch. Oh, well, I'll scoot down and see where the horses are.
There you go.
Well, Callie, what can we anticipate off this undercard?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to be honest, since I just got the noms yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, guys. I really only handicapped the Black Eyed Susan thus far, just as far as noms and what we've got going on. Let me get back to this card really quick.
I haven't even looked at noms, Kelly. You're one step ahead of me.
Oh, really? Oh,
well, talk about the Black Eyed Susan then. We love that race.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. All right. So let me. Gunsong will be in. Okay. Gunsong is a for sure in for the Black Eyed Susan this year. I wrote down. Okay. I think Carpozo is a likely one. If we're talking one that's got some value, it's all, listen, the Black Eyed Susan is also potentially a Brad Cox show as well. I think I counted at least three or four possibles for him. Recharge could be coming. I mean, the horse has been working well, so I absolutely see it. And Steve likes to ship here.
Is anyone coming from the West Coast that you know of? Yeah.
I mean, that the Peter Erton, the Corpozo.
Okay.
But we really won't know officially even until Monday for all these entries. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, I went through each horse in the field.
I kind of put you on the spot. Sorry.
No, you're fine. No. Cause I have like, this is fine. Cause I went through the whole noms and then I went through, you know, just what each horse was doing and currently doing. And I kind of just made my own assessment off of that. I mean, Lucas is bringing eight horses. You can bet that Lemon Muffin's going to be in there, especially since that filly did not take to that track at all in the Oaks. One that I like is actually a first time against winners.
Ooh.
And Flashy Dancer for Brad Cox. Let me get to my notes on this filly.
So this is for the Black Eyed Susan then?
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. I might have, depending on what kind of value she comes in as.
Why would you want a daughter of Curlin in a 2-turn graded stakes? That's weird. What strange handicapping from you?
It is. It's the bottom breeding that really does it for me, though. This won't necessarily be an issue. The half sibling hit show was a winner first, third, and fourth out, the fourth being the grade 3 Withers. The damn actress also tried for listed stakes company second time out and won the Black Eyed Susan third out with finally stretching out. So this filly, as opposed to her dam, has had 2-turn experience already. Walking into this race, and her mother came from off of the pace as well. The Grand Dam was a winner third time out as well, and was a winner of the Spinster just back in her career. So that's one that I have underneath. If Brad is running that, I would be so excited if he runs Flashy Dancer, just because I believe it would be either her third or her fourth start and first time against winners. So
you got to think, even with the owners, I mean, with the West owning the horse, I mean, they know how to place horses.
And you know what? It's been interesting with Brad Cox, because he was early on in his career, he was a lot like Todd Pletcher, where if he had horses that really didn't show him anything from Churchill Downs, he was gone. I mean, right back to Belmont, and there was no thought of coming here. But then with some wins, with seeing the value of the Black Eyed Susan and bringing in some more horses, I think he's really likened himself to what Pimlico has to offer. And you talked about Dwayne Lucas and the number of horses he's bringing in. Bob Baffert, he brings in half a plane of horses when he used to come in, when they could come in on Wednesdays. And the value that he sees, you see him walking over with owners all day long, not only on Black Eyed Susan Day, but on the undercard for Preakness Day. So that gives you a sense again of the value that these guys see in the race when, you know, the Todd Pletchers of the world bypass continually Pimlico.
And remember, too, we have that trainer bonus tied to Susan Day. So, you know, you see that guys like Steve Asmussen, and Brad Cox, I think, you know, they're going to bring multiple horses to accumulate points for the trainer bonuses. So there's some incentive aside from winning the purse money for the owners, you know. And hey, what, 10,000 is, you know, nothing to sneeze at. And I'm sure that they distribute it to the help of the barn and all the people that, you know, that are here and travel with the horses as well. So there's a pretty good amount of money on the line for trainer bonuses. Man, that's why you'll see guys bring 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 horses in for the weekend. And I just forgot to mention Brad Cox. I mean, the horse that ran huge in the Derby is still a possibility, and that's Catching.
Yes.
I mean, I look at that race again. He got absolutely not squeezed, but shuffled back in the opening furlong and caught in between horses. Not a good place to be, was not able to run out in the free and in the clear. I know it was kind of even pace late, but honestly, if the horse had not been shuffled back, I think we would have seen that 3-way photo finish that we saw in the Derby, plus Catching Freedom not far behind. How far behind? Maybe he would have been the fourth horse in the photo. That's arguable. But, I mean, he's got a lot of talent, and he has tactical early speed, too. So he will be tough if he shows up, and he's still a possibility.
And Brad Cox was really disappointed with that late scratch last year for the Preakness. It's a race that he's really talked about, and he had a good horse coming into the Preakness last year, and he had that late scratch, and he was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Callie,
was my
fifth another horse in coming in here that's got a lot of mid-Atlantic connections and all that stuff is Uncle Heavy. And I think if you heard anything from the Reed folks, are they going to run him?
Not a thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Butch Riedel, he's game to ship horses in
there. Oh, wait, yes. I was just at dinner with our turf rider crew. And it is, you're spot on, Dave. It's officially 50-50 still. I would not be surprised if he showed up.
Right. So, I mean, it's looking like Tuscan Gold, maybe Copper Tax, Muth, Imagination, Mystic Dan, maybe. Just Steel Sees the Grave for sure.
That's Mogatu, a fun field already.
Mogatu long shot. I mean, yeah. I'm thinking 9 or 10.
Yeah, that's a fun field already.
Especially, I mean, they, with the announcement that First Bet's doing that $25 million racing series with, you know, no one's really talking about that much. Well, with the Preakness and the Pegasus and the
California, Crown. Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yep.
I mean,
$5 million bonus.
Take a chance. And then they're $2.5 million on the turf for that too. So
yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
Should be a lot of fun. Hey, last time we had Scott on, he was on with Illman and with Piasek. It's very nice to not have them on the show. But Dave, we talked with him about, you know, the future plans for Maryland Racing. And obviously you've been there. I know you were there for the founding of the Maryland Jockey Club in 1763. So we appreciate your long and tireless work there in the state of Maryland. What, I mean, are you excited about the plans for Pimlico? Cause I know it, just following you on socials and being around a little bit, man, you really love Pimlico, and I think you see the future being pretty bright up there.
That is a question for me.
It is, yeah.
Are you saying I've been around a long time? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm talking about Scott, of course, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, that it turned on a dime because everything for several years was pointed towards Laurel. And when it made a turn and it came to Pimlico, I think a lot of the credit has to go to the new governor of the state of Maryland, Wes Moore. He was determined when he saw that there was going to be a question between Pimlico and Laurel, he was determined that he wanted to do part of an urban redevelopment along with the track. And it came down to the legislature, and there were some lawmakers that looked as though a few months ago were going to throw a real wrench in the deal. And he stepped in and he made this happen. He signed the bill today in Annapolis, the state capitol, making this go forward. And I found myself walking around Pimlico today on opening day, looking at everything a little bit longer, thinking that, you know, 2 years from now, that's not going to be there. That's not going to be there. That's not going to be there. And guess what? I'll have a track that's got an elevator that can take me up the 7 flights up to the press box. But I think it really is going to be great for racing. You guys have seen the transformation with Churchill Downs, now complete. The transformation for Belmont is going on right now. The demolition is going on right now. What we're going to see in the next couple of years at Pimlico, I think, is changing the face of racing. And it's making a huge difference because it's saying we need to focus on the best that we do. And though the numbers of tracks maybe in these markets, I mean, it's a different story in Kentucky with the success you've had, but to focus on the successful tracks and put the resources into them, I think is really important. And I think that this, what's going on at Pimlico, is going to change the face of Maryland racing. And I think what's going to evolve from it is going to go through and through the state down to the breeding barns and throughout this industry that brings in upwards of $1 billion a year, $2 billion a year, if you take the whole horse industry in the state of Maryland. So we're excited about that. And like we say, you know, Pimlico's, people come, it's run down, it leaks, the elevators don't work.
Can I share my story? Since you're on the subject of it, you know, on its last leg, I packed up my office after the races on Laurel this past Sunday. And I went to go open the door to unload. In fact, I'm gonna text you the video, Louie, but
okay.
I went to go open the door and there was dirt everywhere. There's soot. It wasn't dirt, it was soot. There was tile from the ceiling down on the floor. And the culprit,
like the hotel we stayed in last year.
The culprit was a family of raccoons. We are now this is the raccoon, the Pimlico is now the raccoon's home.
Part of me is gonna die when that place is nice. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, part of me is gonna die, Dave. What are we gonna
do?
Well,
as you take one last look this Preakness at the old grandstand, because that's going to be the first thing to be for demolition, targeted for demolition, probably in June, as soon as June.
Okay.
Yep.
After the meet is over. So the old grandstand will go, and I thought was kind of cool, something I read, I forget where I read it, so I'm sorry I'm not giving you credit, whoever you are, but that they were going to actually use some of the timbers from the old grandstand as part of the new Pimlico, kind of taking, you know, it really kind of cool. But the old grandstand will be for the first demolish, and the barn area on the back stretch, all the horses have to be that are stable to Pimlico should be out of here probably by late August, and in September the demolition will begin on that backstretch barn area. So in 2025 for Preakness 150, you're going to see a completely different looking Pimlico. I don't know. Maybe my perch will be demolished by then. But I don't know how far along the plans are going to be, but it's going to be a Pimlico under construction, so to speak, for the final Preakness at the old Pimlico.
I got to say, and Mike and I were talking about this before the show, I've loved coming to this race for many years. Mike came to his first one last year.
Yep.
And I think you get it. Just the vibe around the place, just the sitting at a picnic table near the finish line, just how, I don't want to call it casual, but just, I call it affectionately, I think Scott's heard me refer to it as this, as sort of the county fair of the Triple Crown going to Pimlico.
Yeah.
Just because it's an older building and it's kind of just easy to get around. Everybody's in a freaking good mood.
I also grew up on racetracks, but you didn't really do that. Right?
That's also true. Yeah, that's true.
It kind of took me back to going to Hialeah before it closed and all that kind of stuff too. I mean, it just.
The great thing about Pimlico is, like you're saying, Louis, they keep it real and everybody's real. From any, like you say, from the first time you step on the property to the people you meet when you just step off the property.
Yep.
They're all keeping it real. They have a stake in what goes on. They all have a story to tell. And I think that's what makes it so special, because there's a story around every corner. And you guys went through this at Churchill Downs. Yep. I'm sure when all the plans were in place to do the different things, there are so many people out there saying that you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't move this. You can't do this. But think about the reviews that Churchill Downs, with the completion of everything, got this year. It comes together. Think of the new Yankee Stadium. Sure, the home plate is no longer where Babe Ruth stood, but it's still Yankee Stadium. It's still going to be Pimlico, and it's going to be exciting to see the news stories that are told and how that evolves with racing in the coming years. And it'll be interesting to see if the Todd Pletchers of the world, if this convinces them to say, you know, maybe I'll bring my horses there, even if I'm not maybe running in the big race, because there have been a lot of the trainers and owners that have said, you know what, maybe it's not in the best condition. Maybe we'll go somewhere else, but that's all going to change.
Now, one thing that people do love about the current Pimlico configuration, Scott, and I think you'll agree, is the press kind of likes the stakes barn being in close proximity to the building.
Really nice.
Yeah. So I hope that
there's nothing like having Bob Baffert in his stalls of horses right next to Dwayne Lucas with Chad Brown next door, and then Todd Pletcher coming around the backside, and then Brad Cox waving hi to everybody, and then Steve Asmussen coming in, and they all kind of get together and you know, and do a big group hug it out. So that'll be interesting to see how that evolves, but it's exciting. And I really think what has been done at Churchill has given NYRA the idea of what they're doing, and has given what will be the new NYRA in Maryland an idea of what they can do at Pimlico.
I think, you know, it's something we do on the show. We love to go to the different places where the races are happening. We try to not be a national show necessarily, but just, you know, we love the regionality of the game. But man, you're right. Rising tide, all ships, all those old sayings, right? And I think that, you know, if it had to start in Kentucky and then spread to other places, who cares where it starts as long as it starts?
Yes.
Right? And so in this case, as long as we're doing those things and we're working toward, you know, a better future for this sport that we know is the best game in the world, Scott, that at least someone's doing it. And I'm thrilled that Pimlico's happening, because I have so much damn fun at the Preakness.
And so, question for you guys. I know that it was great, the meet right around the week leading up to the Derby, and there was so much safety, the horses. It was just a great week. We've got the folks from Stride Safe coming to town. They're going to be pitching the Maryland horsemen on implementing the program, the baseline program that they've done in Kentucky. I know that Dr. David Lambert's been on ESPN 680. I know with Bob Valvano they've done such a great job, and they're really looking forward to meeting the Maryland horsemen and telling the story of the success that they've had in just the last year with, you know, really dealing with these horses and setting baselines for them and the sensors and looking at technology to help with taking care of these great four-legged animals that make the game so great.
You don't have to go to that company. Dale Romans, we were listening to him backside this week, and he was like, this is because of technology. Like, it is just better. We can sense things a slight. They're doing like 400, you know, sensors per second on these horses, this kind of stuff. The technology's through the roof. It sounds too good to be true, but then you see the results. And I mean, look, it's also the nature of news and sports and everything else. If it leads, if it bleeds, it leads. And then we didn't have any issues at all. Frankly, we had one accident at the top of the stretch on Thursday, but otherwise it was a clean week. And frankly, those horses popped up. Luckily Irving Mokata did have a concussion, but he was okay after that. And I mean, it was a really, really good week here, Scott. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
We didn't even have as many horses get loose on the backside.
No.
So it's just, the horn only went off a couple. The siren only went off.
This was, by the way, a professional group I can remember for both Oaks and Derby loading in front of huge crowds that I can remember. Yeah, that's a good three-year-old crop, though. Yeah.
And people might not know that the same starters do these races. I mean, there are people from Pimlico that go to Churchill Downs. There are people from Churchill Downs that will come to Pimlico, and a bunch of them will all go to Saratoga this year for the Belmont, the best of the best. And you better believe that horse that wins the Derby has the same assistant starter at Pimlico loading into that gate. And that's a real dynamic that's interesting with these races that you learn kind of through the background.
Oh, here's Callie's video from Pimlico today. Time to break in, and there we go. Oh, Callie. Oh, no. That carpet. My God.
The best
I can smell that carpet from Louisville. I could smell it right now. My God, that carpet. Oh.
So the theory is that the big tile on the ceiling was from the water. But then if you look closer, there are holes that are chewed out from the ceiling. Those are the raccoon holes.
Biblical baby. Yes.
Well,
so
you know why a reason Pimlico is so fun, and me putting this, it puts everybody in the same scenario.
Yep.
And what's so great is that it makes everybody just kind of put up their bootstraps and have the best, make it the best that they can in that scenario.
I mean, can you imagine, like, Scott, in the press box, all of those press clippings and old pictures that are up there, right?
Yes.
At that, I know Steve Bick would say he'll put it on stuff on his Twitter feed. You know, it seems like every time you turn a page, you see a new picture that's just like throwback. So hopefully, you can imagine all of that, but not having to go through all that trouble to find stuff and dig through musty folders in a brand new Pimlico, say in a museum where all of that would be open to the public to see the history of Maryland racing, the history of the Preakness, the history of the Black Eyed Susan,
and all the great trainers,
jockeys.
And Louis, what you spoke to, I mean, think of when you're at Pimlico this in a little over a week, you will walk in the same footsteps of the greatest trainers to ever train horses, the greatest jockeys, the greatest turf riders will all walk in the same area that you're walking in. And to think that you're there sharing the same experience that they had, we get nostalgic, and as we get older, it's, get off my yard. But I mean, I think that's a lot of the allure of a Pimlico. And I mean, what they've done at the Fenway Parks of the world give hope that can continue on. And now with what they've done at Churchill Downs, I think that really, like you say, the high tide raises all boats. And I think that's going on, and we'll see that with Pimlico and also with Belmont Park.
And look, frankly, Baltimore has great sports venues for the Ravens, Camden Yards, obviously. I mean, I actually trust the Maryland folks to get Pimlico right. I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. And the other artifact that should be saved is Trevor Denman's couch from 1989 that's still in my booth because he wanted a couch. And so it was probably a $3,000 blue couch at the time.
Dave's casting couch.
It's still there.
No, not you, Dave. Oh, no.
It's still there.
Couch. Trevor Denman's couch at Pimlico. I like that.
I mean, it's there from 1989, Sunday Silence, an easy goer. And so we're hoping that can be saved and maybe put into some kind of museum.
All right. So I know Scott is a radio geek, so he's going to come find us in the fake pub that is McMullen's pub that turns into a pub after we start – you know, we hang up the mics. They fill the cooler with beer.
Get in the buffet line.
I may or may not fill my backpack and then walk to the first floor because the elevator won't be working. By the way, in the new Pimlico, if anyone's watching from Maryland, where are you? There you are. Okay. Look me in the eyes. You need to have a switch that turns off all the toilets at the same time and one that turns off all the elevators at the same time. Just for old time's sake. If you don't have that, shame on you. Okay. But Dave, you have no excuse. I know where you call races. 10 to noon on Friday, Black Eyed Susan Day. Make your way over to McMullen's Pub.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do after the races.
And grab a bowl of potato salad.
Yeah, potato salad on a Friday. I like that. There you go. Well, we'll let the Maryland folks get out of here. Go ahead and pick a Preakness winner today, Callie.
Ooh.
Subject to change, of course.
If Mystic Dan re-enter, oof.
No. Caught her off guard. Look at me. How about that?
You did.
Going with Muth. All right. What do you say, Scott?
I've got to go with Bob Baffert and Muth. I mean, he knows how to win this race. He knows how to come in under the radar. He knows how to prepare horses here. I think he loves this track. And I think he really, at times, now knowing that, you know, for the last couple of years, he wasn't going to be at Churchill Downs. I think he's really trained horses, pointing them exactly towards Pimlico and the Preakness.
I want the coach to win it, man. So bad. Just okay. I want the press conference.
Yeah.
I want that press conference.
That's right. Dave, early favorite for you.
The horses I give you may not win, but you'll have a good time saying, I bet the best price. If Catching Freedom runs, I think he's got a really good chance because of his trip in the Derby. Other than that, I mean, Just Steel, I mentioned earlier, I thought he was too close to the pace. You know, you're getting Rosario and Lucas together in here. And Mystic Dan, Just Steel were the two I bet in the Derby. So maybe the other one will win the Preakness.
Yeah, flip the tables there, man. I'll go ahead. I'll go Seize the Gray. I'm really fascinated by that horse.
Yeah.
I think he's got a serious shot here. So I'm excited to get him there. Reminder, I'll be on WBAL all week with Scott Wyckoff. I'm just going to be dominating Baltimore radio next week.
And how about you? Give your Jimmy's seminar.
Yeah, report. Jimmy's Seafood after the Black Eyed Susan. Just come by. We're gonna have handouts for everybody. We'll do a handicapping seminar there, hanging out there. Those folks have been so kind to us, and they do so many good things in Baltimore as well. And so happy to be out there. There's no charge. We just want to hang out with folks in Baltimore, get to know more people out there on the Eastern Shore. And so hopefully people will come by and find us there as well. So yeah, after Black Eyed Susan Day, 7:30, 8:00. We'll get going over at Jimmy's. I don't even you're excited about that because you had those crab legs.
It was so good.
I don't think you're going to help. I think you're just going to be there eating
I'm
crab
just
legs.
Eat. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, that is what it is. Yeah. Right.
I'll say this is the race. Louis, go ahead and pick them.
So Scott's like, yeah, I'll think about coming, and I'm like, dude, it starts when you go to bed. We're not doing that. No, we're not going to pretend. It's okay. Yeah. No, we're not.
The first time I brought some out of town people to eat dinner at Preakness evening, we went to a restaurant and like it was amazing. We had crab fries, crab soup, crab cakes, crab this, everything was crab, right?
Yeah. You know,
crab cream cheesecake or whatever. they love it, you know. So it's a must do, you know, you have to have it in some form or fashion.
Right. Old Bay coffee is my go-to.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not that. Stick to
I like coffee, but
I like coffee and I like Old Bay, but yeah, right.
Yeah.
Popular item with the guys that Callie went out for dinner tonight were the Old Bay goldfish that turn up around Preakness.
Right.
Ah, okay. That
sounds fire. I'm not gonna.
That's between great snack. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, Callie Francois at Miss Francois to you on Twitter. Scott Wyckoff, are you at Scott Wyckoff WBAL? Is that you?
You got it.
And then at Dave Rodman on Twitter as well.
At Dave Rodman.
You cannot watch that 2020 Preakness enough. People, go find the MJC call.
Well.
I'm telling you.
There's an asterisk on that. The only reason that I caught Swiss Skydivers move between horses was there were no tents. It was the COVID, right? So I'm not guaranteeing a clean call this year. We'll see.
And there is a restaurant in Baltimore, the Corner Stable, that's owned by one of the horse owners in Baltimore, Chip Reed, that in the bathroom plays Dave Rodman race replays. In the bathroom.
All right, never mind, Jimmy's. We're out. We're going to that place. You're done.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You want Dave Rodman bathroom?
That's it. The place to go.
Oh man, good stuff. We will see everybody next week. Thanks so much for jumping on, Baltimore folks. We'll see you then.
There you go. A little biblical preview.
Yeah, I was going to.
Old Hilton. Well, how about that? All right, Zach, get all these people out of here. Get them out. Bye, Callie. We'll see.
Bye.
See, I was going to tell Callie how to get rid of raccoons.
No, it's funnier. She has to deal with the raccoons.
I guess so.
Yeah, we're not going to be nice to Callie.
You want to know how to get rid of raccoons?
No, I'm good. Call the exterminator.
Listen, well, yeah, I will say,
Callie's still here.
This is what the exterminator told me, though.
Does Callie want
Jimmy
to
Seafood?
Oh, she's knocking to do back on stage.
She wants back on. Hold on.
Come back, Callie.
Hold on. Oh, go ahead.
Am I live? Or am I live?
Yeah, you're live. Yeah.
Okay, so I can't swear, but yes. How do
yes,
I?
You can. You totally can.
How do I get rid of fucking raccoons?
Okay. So this is what an exterminator told me. Now this is the stuff you can only get in Kentucky.
Oh, man.
They cannot resist malt liquor. So you pour a 40 into a dog bowl, and they'll get drunk. They'll have the worst hangover, and they leave.
It's a good joke.
I don't believe
it. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. We've done it. It worked.
Is there a malt liquor brand that you prefer, sir?
Yeah. How about How about we do this? I'll try Mickey's. That.
Why don't we just bring some?
Yeah, we'll bring some to the track for you, and you know, just give it a go and see. You know, if it's all gone,
I'm gonna try it the week after Preakness for sure. Yeah.
This is
I'm not gonna mess with it before Preakness, but I'm gonna try it after.
All right,
I'll report back.
You'll get your favorite 40.
I love that Callie gets this show.
I want Callie to go in the liquor store. You're like, I need a 40. Give me a 40.
Oh man, there's plenty of bulletproof glass or Pimlico spots that'll have nice drinks.
Oh my god, yes.
But I've been in a bow tie, and people look at me like I'm a narc. Because that's what I look like, and that's okay. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Callie.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
See ya.
No, that's on street, man. So, all right. Anyway,
dude, I'm sorry, but the Maryland people are undefeated.
They're great.
They're so fun on this show. I love it. Oh, it's great.
All right.
Wyckoff fell asleep right now.
I will say, even if I have to fund it myself, we are giving away a horse racing happy hour hat and a cup.
We got some stickers.
At Jimmy's.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and awesome news that I can share now that Zach brought that up. We are going to give away. We have a horse racing happy hour. We're going on the road. So we're going to give away one of the road trip hats. Mike's got one on with the license plate on it. The girls over at the Hat Girls.
Uh-oh.
Milliner locally.
Yeah.
Are going to throw in a fascinator in Preakness colors.
Oh, sweet.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah. Are you serious?
I was talking with Rachel. They're awesome, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
You know what's awesome?
Getting it there.
Rachel's dad listens to Remote every day.
Oh, nice.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So get in the back door there. But no, we're going to be able to give away a fascinator as well. Look for us on Twitter at Horse Happy Hour. We'll have that giveaway. I'll probably post it tomorrow, actually.
So we didn't really get a chance to talk much about the Oaks, but
we can get back to it.
Torpedo Anna.
Oh, I was wrong about that one. Holy.
I mean, bleep.
Oakland dominated the weekend.
They really did. But I love the way the three-year-old fillies set up because, you know, we really won't see them. And we won't really see them go against the older fillies.
Rangers on a breakaway.
We won't see her go until probably the Breeders' Cup, right? So, like, I think we're going to have – we talk about falling in love with the fillies and mares.
Oh, this four-year-old class when they get there?
And we saw, well, even
the rest of the summer. I mean, like,
and we saw the older
club, the Acorn, all these things.
Yeah, but we saw the older mares run earlier in the day. Yep. You know, and I mean, that's shaping up to be just a very great class to watch.
Can I ask a weird question?
She could be a freaking superstar.
Can I ask a weird question? Because Baffert can't ship to CDI tracks, has it actually made these series better because he has to go to the Preakness?
Maybe. I mean, it's so funny because at Churchill Downs, it's such a non-story.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm not debating that part. Because you and I already talked about that and we agree.
Yeah.
No question. No one talked about it. The only person who asked us was Sherpa.
Right.
And he's with the LA Times. And I'm not mad at him. That's what he's supposed to do, right?
Right.
He quoted me before the governor, which is the right thing to do.
Right.
But I don't know. Is it making this race better?
Well, this is an incredible Preakness field.
This is a very fun Preakness field. Would see the gray's going to be like 10-1 in a 9-horse field, dude?
Getting someone like Catching Freedom potentially coming where we have two of the top four Derby horses, which does not happen very often, you know, and
new shooters that are top end new shooters that win the Arkansas Derby.
I mean, right? Honestly, like I got to give to Kenny McPeak because it's hard to be Muth when you're on full rest like Muth is, and you're coming off short rest. Muth's on full rest. I mean,
and a guy who never loses to the
Preakness. Right. I mean, you've got to – it's like I would not have blamed him at all for trying to set that matchup up for later in the year, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think it is setting up where this, we knew that this field was going to be solid. We've been talking about for months now, and now it's coming to fruition. So, and I think the New York meet could be solid too. I mean, I think they're all looking like
those Phillies, especially in the 3-year-olds. Yeah, in general, both sides, right? Phillies and the Colts side. We really fun to start talking this over here, right? You're totally right. Yep.
All right, so let's do a little handicapping.
Sure.
All right. Are we doing any Manscaped stuff today?
Manscaped. We should do that right now.
We should Manscaped. I've been using my beard trimmer, man. I've been using the nose trimmer. That's pretty much where my trimmer
I'm not stops. A nose trimmer guy, but is it a really good
it's
is
a
it
great,
a great product?
It's a yeah? great nose trimmer. Do you like the you don't grow like your nose? Are you not at that age yet where your nose hair gets like
I don't grow a lot of stuff. Really? I use the Manscaping for below my collarbone.
I needed the Manscaped people to tell me what's the best thing to do to get the hair on the ears. Because I'm at that age where, you know, the hairs on the ears are a real thing.
Does that trimmer not work for the outside of the ear? It's more for a confined
it's really
space.
Kind of more in the the nose. But you know, so there
dude,
it is.
You
but,
gotta use the
that can speak to the too.
Trimmer clip on that Louis was talking about before. It's got like the little trimmer edges with a foil on it. So you kind of like trim it off and then
I
foil shave.
I got to get that foil attachment. I got to call them and get that foil attachment. They send it to me. So,
yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, that thing's amazing.
Yeah. So, all right.
Especially for a guy like you, if you wanted to like edge this a little bit, like make that line. I know you do that on your neck.
Yeah.
It can actually really help with that as well. You know who's using Manscaped now?
Dan Issel.
That's right. Yeah, he likes the single blade. No, but like they have regular razors. I think people assume it's all for below the collarbone. No, there's a lot of. There's a lot of beard stuff. There's a lot of, like I use it between haircuts on my sideburns and stuff just to keep this trimmed up so my ears I don't look like musty reference coming. Bozo the Clown. Did you have a Bozo the Clown here?
Oh, yeah. We Bozo WGN.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. We had a Bozo buckets. Where I grew up. Oh, yeah. Throwing the ping pong balls in the buckets. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get that hair on the side as you get older. It's a lot bike, faster here than it does up here. Yeah.
Suck it. I went to Bozo the Clown, okay? Oh, it was in Chicago. I went to it.
Nope.
And if you weren't on stage, it didn't count. I would say that in all seriousness, though, with the beard stuff, and by the way, horse racing is the promo code. Yes. You get 20% off free shipping.
Yep.
Zach might be the same way. I was using beard oil, and I learned that I was starting to get a lot of flakes coming out of my beard, and that beard conditioner has cured all of that.
Oh, wow.
And in that it smells good, the beard wash, the beard conditioner. I'm a big fan, huge fan of the underwear.
The boxers are awesome. Boxers are right. Fantastic. By the way, too, want to thank the people who listen and hang out with this show because y'all showed up with that promo code and they've extended our contract. So there you go. I mean, that's
do the thing.
That's what it's all about. So thanks for helping us out on the show.
All right,
paid for things like traveling to Baltimore.
So we're gonna not do what's on the show sheet from a handicapping standpoint.
How about
we're gonna
that?
Go out and talk about what's going on at Belmont at the Big A. You know, because it's Peter Pan weekend.
It is Peter Pan weekend.
It's Run Happy.
Yep.
It's the Man of War.
We'll talk about this. These races will be in the old book on Saturday.
Sure.
This week's old book, by the way, totally free to you on Saturday.
So let's get on to this Peter Pan because I think we had some horses here who had to make a decision. The one that I'm interested in and who I think could have a big second half of the year is the Wine Steward.
Yes. Coming in, obviously, ran in that Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland in October, saw that horse finish second, came back, ran a good second in the Lexington, which is the very final Derby prep, if people remember. It's a 20-pointer, kind of the last chance to get points. Wine Steward's probably in the field if he wins the Lexington. He misses it by 3/4 of a length. So this could have been a Derby horse. And I think you're right to point out, like, you know, this is Luis Saez, Mike Maker. They're picking this spot here, knowing what you pointed out. This is a 2-turn mile and an eighth, but when they get to Saratoga, it's only 10 furlongs, right? Only having to go another eighth of a mile further at Saratoga. So obviously trying to set him up there. Guess who his dad is? Wine Steward, his dad's name, Vino Rosso, of course, right? So this is a horse that obviously has run well in New York, a Wood Memorial winner, right? So why wouldn't this horse run well on Long Island? A good call by you.
And actually, I mean, it was unfortunate that we saw this horse end its 2023 campaign in October, early October. So that's why it really never got on the Derby trail in the first place. But a horse that I think could be, like I said, just a super, super great horse, especially going into a 4-year-old season.
Or if he shows up big in this one and is ready for the Belmont, why can't he be a problem in June?
I think it's probably more likely he probably goes to Travers. I think that could really happen.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see kind of
what Belmont
happens.
Sets up to be a solid one too.
It really does.
The other horse in here I think that's really especially interesting is 7 Deterministic. He might be close to Fism by the time this race goes off. Bad Wood Memorial. Let's call it what it was. Up the track. But I think once in a while we have to remember a guy like Joel Rosario is not going to push that horse more than he needs to in a race when he knows he's not going to win. And there are bigger plans for that horse than just the Wood Memorial on the line. Hey, if you're not going to win the 100-point race or you're not going to finish second, don't wear my horse out today, essentially, I imagine, were the instructions from trainer Christophe Clément. So interested to see if he bounces back. And Aquarian's in here for Todd Pletcher, who ran in that Louisiana Derby. He ran sixth, but only by four lengths behind Catching Freedom and Honor Marie, both of those horses finishing in the top 10 of the Kentucky Derby, right? Another horse out of that race is Tuscan Gold. We talked about we'll be going to the Preakness instead, trying to follow that Chad Brown, that little in-between horse that wasn't ready for the Derby that he thinks can fit in well with the Preakness field. We'll be out of here, so the five will scratch, and the Wine Steward will almost certainly be favored for that one.
But you got to think, especially when you go deterministic, I mean, running such a big race in that Gotham at Aqueduct, I mean, it's
Resilience ran really well in the Kentucky Derby. It should be pointed out. Yeah, like, it was really, really well. Sixth, I think, right behind T.O. Password.
That's the horse that we actually spent a lot of time with that week.
He was around a lot, right? Yeah, he was around. Looked great, by the way. Hopefully came out well and everything else runs it at Saratoga when they get there. Protective was third in that Wood Memorial under Kendrick Carmouche, the one horse here.
Yep.
Flips to IRAD.
Ooh.
Okay, so maybe one to watch there for Pletcher. Pletcher picking up IRAD for this mount. I thought ran an okay Wood Memorial. Pletcher. He needs to be better though to be, you know, to win this race, I think.
Okay. Well,
but it's a fun one. It really sets up
that right there is, of course, the Peter Pan Stakes, a grade three.
Race six,
$200,000 purse, mile and eighth on the dirt, which leads then into the Man of War Stakes, which is one of these like marathon turf races that I know you love, mile and three eighths on the turf. $400,000 race here. Is that a grade one?
Let's see. It's grade two.
Grade two. Yeah. Who did you like in this one?
Nice field here. Nine horses. Nation's Pride makes his return. Stateside, he ran in Bahrain the last time out. Think about this horse's travel schedule.
Okay.
Ran in America last year after running in the Epsom Derby. Okay. Runs eighth in the Epsom Derby, comes over for the Belmont Derby, runs in New York, runs in the Saratoga Derby, wins. One's in the Jockey Club back at Aqueduct, wins. Goes to Keeneland to run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile or Breeders' Cup Turf in November of 22, runs fifth. Okay. He was favored that day, by the way. Rebels Romance came through and won that race. I'm sure you remember we were there. Goes over to Dubai for two races, goes to Munich for a race, comes back to Canada to run at Woodbine, wins Germany, wins at Woodbine. Then they take the horse to Bahrain. He runs seventh. You think Bill Buick's going to have that horse, or excuse me, Frankie Dettori going to have that horse in a good spot?
Hopefully, pretty good fire miles there.
So. Yeah, there you go. A little bit of that. And so, you know, when you have the Godolphin money, you can run wherever the hell you want. And so that's what you're seeing here. Nation's Pride, obviously the favorite here. The American side, though, I think you do have to look at Flavian Pratt, Charlie Appleby here with the Elkhorn winner in Silver Knot. Ran at Keeneland last time, mile and a half. Obviously, different types of turf courses going from Keeneland up to Aqueduct, but we've seen horses, especially Churchill Downs recently, leave that Keeneland course to be just fine wherever they go. And so if that horse runs back, that performance of 227 and change at Keeneland in this race should be good to go as well. And then I'm interested in this horse, Cortez. First time in North America, last out of Gulfstream, going a mile and a half in the Pan American, the grade two there. Under Joel Rosario, caught Harry Hood at the line. Tawny Port also in this field, so a horse that people remember.
Yeah.
I think all of them have a shot here. The interesting thing about Tawny Port, people do remember, of course, Ohio Derby winner. So,
ran the Kentucky Derby.
Huge, huge success on the dirt, frankly. Over $1 million in purse money to this point in his career. Horse is only 5 years old. Son of Pioneer of the Nile. We saw, it's interesting to see once in a while, Mike, that skip generation, because we've seen a lot of the Pharaoh babies be good grass. Obviously, Pioneer of the Nile in that line as well. Seeing one of his kids be good on the grass as well. Interested to see if Tawny Port has a big race here under Irad Ortiz. Well, almost won that Pan American last time, frankly.
This goes back to what we were talking about last week. A derby horse is a derby horse, but then they figure out what their path is, right?
That's right.
And Tawny Port's figured out how to have a million-dollar career and is now on the turf. And so
last two times out in grade twos, finished second by a neck. And he's really put it together, right? And these are the kinds of horses that I love in these longer races, where if they're running and they're part of the finish,
yep,
those become must includes for me going forward.
And he basically made the switch to the turf halfway through last year.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. That's actually what I was trying to figure out on my piece there.
Yeah, Brandon and Ali.
Yep.
And Keeneland hated it. And I think after that, left the Cox Barn, and Christoph said, you know what? Let's try the turf with this horse. And he was totally right.
All right. The one, I think we kind of skipped it. Let's go back. Is it race five? Let's see.
They're unhappy?
Yeah,
it's race four.
Race four. Sorry. The Run Happy Stakes. Grade three, $175,000 purse. This is a 6-furlong sprint on the dirt. We got Straight No Chaser here, which is going to be a super heavy favorite.
That's right.
And any chance that Straight No Chaser gets upset?
Yeah, there is. Joey Freshwater is in here 4-for-7 lifetime at Aqueduct. On the outside, the 6-horse. Jose Lascano knows the course really well. Liz Rice is an absolute monster at Aqueduct. Reason she can't win here. Her only knock, frankly, on her resume and you and I are very complimentary of her resume, is that her graded stakes record is not good. And so this is a step up for this horse coming out of optional Claire spots. But last time out ran really, really well at six furlongs. But we went from buyers of 59, 86, and 74 to 105. Do we trust that form to show up again? I don't. So therefore, I'm going to be leaning on Straight No Chaser back-to-back 101, 107 buyers at Oaklawn and then at Pimlico. You talk about a very different place.
A year ago.
We're coming off a big-time change.
Big win.
Juan Landeros comes off the bench, two out of his last five. This is the kind of horse he's been training at Santa Anita. Is coming in for this one. If you wanted to go against, if you want to make money in the early sequence, you're going to have to beat this horse.
Is this a horse that we could see have a good enough lead into the Breeders' Cup that could sneak into the Breeders' Cup field, or is it still probably a little over the class?
Well, here's the deal. He gets to run in this race, and then if he runs well in the run happy, and they think there's any chance that he can stretch, because he ran in the Malibu before in seven furlongs.
Yep.
That Met Miles sitting out there.
Yep.
Right? And that's a winning in. So is there a chance that he ends up as a Met Mile horse? Let's say he wins this by five or six. Right? And he runs another 100-plus buyer, not at Oaklawn, not at Pimlico, but at Aqueduct. I think we're talking about it more seriously then.
It's interesting though, because I look at that mile distance, even the one-turn miles, is kind of being the in-between.
Yes.
You know, it's not the classic distance, but it's a little bit too far for these sprint horses.
Yep.
You know, we'll see what this horse
does. But that's also why Seize the Gray is so interesting at Pimlico, right? Yeah, because can he just go the extra 3/16 of a mile, but the second turn is the bigger question for me.
Another horse that we've seen a lot in is Durante, the two. I think that's another horse that I'm just kind of curious to see how he comes out and what.
Yeah, essentially second off David Jacobson, that group there. Yeah. And you get Manny Franco, of course, who's a real star up there, 32% already at Aqueduct this meet. The graded stakes question is there again for David Jacobson, like it is for Linda Rice.
All right. Well, there it is, Louie. Great show today. We went a little over an hour, but that's okay because we had some awesome guests.
I talk real quick about the last race at Churchill on Saturday?
I mean, it is our show, so I guess.
There's a horse named Ellen.
You like to talk.
There's a horse in the last race, the 9 horse, named Ellen J.
Okay.
She's a first daughter of Kafefe.
Okay.
So Kafefe's daughter is running at Churchill, first time out ever, as a 3-year-old, daughter of Constitution. Kafefe mom is in the sprint to close the card, the 9 horse. Owned by Ellen J. Foxwoods. This is why I wanted to bring this up. You don't like it when the owners put their name in the horse.
You're not supposed to do it.
So LNJ, they use the letters. The horse's name is Ellen J. Names. Is that the same thing?
Yes.
It's right on the edge, is it not?
It's the same thing.
You're not happy about that, are you?
Well, I mean.
But you like Kafefe.
I love Kafefe. You know, if you love Dan Issel, you got love connections. So, or Constitution, I'm sorry.
Do you know what I did to Dan with this horse? So I texted him. I said, got a firster. Constitution in the last at Churchill. I think she looks really good because we saw her at the turf at the shack. He's like, oh wow, okay. And he goes, Louis, that's the daughter of Kofepe. I was like, I knew you'd look. There it is. So yeah,
but you know, another, we start to see horses creep in with those first timers, and again, that they could have big second half of the year. I mean, I go back to the Airgate year, like we really didn't even know who Airgate was at this time. And then he has that monster finish to the year.
So. And just a reminder of our shows next week, we'll do something quick for Thursday.
How do we do that?
I'm going to do it during the day. Okay. And then kind of just a preview of the weekend, just kind of like talking points. Like
sit in the airport.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually thinking about that. Get through security and then do a show. Friday morning, normal show for me. If you're local here in Louisville, 10 to noon, we'll be on for that shift. John Piasek will join us. He's going to be credentialed under the horse racing happy hour.
We're going to be talking about you basketball.
Obviously. Yeah. And then we're talking about how Louisville just stopped getting pierced. No one's worried about it. Got called a jerk today on the phone.
Anyways, got called a jerk?
Oh, yeah. Well, Louis tried to gin up stuff. And I'm like, no, you have 9 players and 5 of them are bums. Anyways. And then Friday night, Jimmy Seafood. Come on out.
Yep.
No?
No, I want people to come out. Okay. It's going to be great.
You sure?
I definitely want people to come out. I plan on being there for a long time. I feel like we, did it last year, it was on, like, we were so tired. Like, we left a little bit early, and I didn't even get to finish my cigar. So,
by the way, Single Barrel Cigars shipping in all the cigars for that party.
Oh, nice.
So, we're going to have all those cigars ready to go for that Friday night. So, come by. We'll have the giveaways. We'll have the cigars. Hang out there. Jimmy's is undefeated. They're coming into town into Baltimore for the weekend. I've been there. The place is awesome. Huge deck on the outside that we hang out on and everything there as well. And then, of course, 11 to 1. on ESPN Louisville on Saturday. We'll do the preview show following HRRN. So if you want 5 hours of Preakness coverage, I have good news for you. It'll be available on ESPN Louisville.
Or if you only want a couple of hours, just tune into our show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And have good audio quality or something. Yeah. Might be
that was bad. That was real bad.
Might be okay then.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's pay the tab. Let's get out of here. Zach's got to go to bed.
That's true.
So
good night, Scott Wyckoff.
Good night, Scott. Thanks a lot. And I hope that raccoons are out of Miss Francois's office. So
2020
pre-plays. I got some hockey to watch.
Watch the pre-plays, people. Play the music, Zach. But watch the replays, people. It's fantastic.
We out.